Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of love. Sing it again.
Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Welcome to Woman to Woman. Yours truly, Coach Deanne.
Of course, Minister LaDon. Good evening, and welcome to the studio. We hope that you guys have had an awesome day and that you are ready to get down to the nitty-gritty. And we have such an exciting show for you this evening. We have been really pushing for making sure that we bring wonderful information to you guys, resourceful information to you guys, especially during this time of creating new habits and creating new goals. And so we've been fighting to do that. And with that being said, we are just really excited about what we have in store for you this evening, because we know that sometimes when you are pushing through trying to get things accomplished and you don't see the end, sometimes you get weary, sometimes you get fatigued. And I'm just so thankful because God has given us this platform and really given us a lot of information to share with our listening family tonight. So, again, I hope you guys have your pens and your papers and you're ready for tonight's exciting show. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am ready because it's only the 30 days into the new year. And as we know, we can get all excited about the new year, whatever that is, we have goals for. Maybe starting businesses or goals to lose weight. We are so excited. We can't wait for the new year to get here. And normally about this time, you know, 30 days into the new year is when people start feeling fatigued, where people start feeling like, okay, this thing just, you know, what happens when what you planned or what the plans that you had are not going according to plan. Amen. And it's Amen. At this point where you start probably wondering, man, did I really hear from God? Lord, where did I miss it? I was just so sure that 2019, this was going to manifest or that was going to manifest. And I just want to encourage you on tonight because we do get frustrated. We can get weary in well-doing. But I want to encourage you, we're only 30 days into the new year. We're only 30 days, and if we are doing all we know to do, and that's what we're going to find out tonight. But if we're doing all we know to do, then we know that we have to trust the process. We have to trust the higher source in us, which for me is God, Jesus. But we have to trust that so that we know that we are on track. Amen. And just because we can't see it right now doesn't mean that that the process is not working if we're doing all we know to do. So I'm excited about tonight because I think tonight is going to share some of the constraints, the bottlenecks that stop us from going and continuing, that stops us from giving up, or that causes us to want to give up and get discouraged. So I am ready to begin to share those things. This is an open discussion. What does that mean? That means that myself and Minister LaDon, we don't want to just give you our opinions and our thoughts. We would love for you to be able to share, you know, your experiences, your opinions, your thoughts as it pertains to this discussion, which, again, is given some of the things that may be the constraint that's causing us not to move successfully forward in accomplishing our goals. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, so, you know, basically this evening is really a temperature check, Coach D. Some people might be really pushing through. It's 30 days in and they're still pushing through. And, you know, there's 30 days that you have the next 30 days to get through. And so if you're not in that space tonight of being fatigued, this may help you in the future as well. I'm excited about this show because for those of you who are listening, you may hear the sound of my voice. You may understand or, you know, come to understand that I am not feeling well. I'm sick. And so Coach D and I, we had to fight to still continue doing this show. And it was great for me to have this experience so that I could share with you some of the things that we're bringing out on tonight's show. One of the things I want to talk about as we get into the show is this dealing with fatigue. It reminds me of Six Sigma. It reminds me of Six Sigma management. And for those of you who don't know what Six Sigma is, I'm going to put it in layman's term, which is it's simply eliminating or minimizing the effect that problems or issues have on your ability to perform at maximum capacity. So in Six Sigma, we learn and we understand and we know that there is never going to be a time where you are not facing a challenge or you're not facing an issue. It's how you make it through those issues. It's how you make it through those challenges. Do you lay down and just say, hey, I'm tired, I'm sick, so Coach D, yeah, you can do the show by yourself because I'm sick. I'm just going to stay in the background. Or do you fight through? And that fight through is what gives you, what builds up your resiliency. And, you know, resiliency is the ability to recover from your problems, recover from your setbacks. And if 2018, my 2018 was anything like any of yours 2018s, some of you may have had a rough 2018. And so you might not be feeling pretty resilient right now, but, you know, through the studying that we've done, Coach D and I are going to bring out some awesome tools that are going to help you get back your resilience spirit, because resiliency really has to do with the spirit of a person. And so that's one of the reasons why Coach D said, you know, in the beginning, her source in pushing through is God. Mine is too. I don't know what yours is, but resiliency does have to do with the spirit of a man. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Definitely. So, well, let's get going. I'm excited. I want to tell our listening audience, if you were listening in, whether you're listening in via the internet or if you're listening in live in the studio, invite a friend. I'm going to just give you a couple of moments. If you could just send out a quick text message and invite a friend or two to listen in to tonight's show. You may know someone that, you know, that came into the year excited and now they're seeming to be dying down. Or you may know somebody that didn't come into the year excited, that they're not, you know, that maybe they just are frustrated. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what life holds, you know. Invite them on the call. You may have somebody that got laid off at the end of the year. We know there's people right now, you know, with all that's going on in society, with the government shutdowns, we know there's some people that's not getting paid. Some people are going to work and not getting paid, so they're on like a furlough. And then you have some people that's not going to work at all and they're not getting paid. So if you know somebody that's going through this, or somebody that you just believe that could use some words of encouragement, then please have them call in, and we're going to give you a couple of seconds to do that. And then we're going to get going with the show. Again, I'm excited. I know Minister LaDonna is excited, but we want to find out, what are those constraints? How do we fight fatigue of fading vision? How do we fight the frustration and the disappointment when our dreams feel like they're starting to fade away, where we don't have they're not clearly in sight. We lost sight of our goals and our visions and our dreams. How do we fight to get that back and get the energy that we need to move forward in those dreams? Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that I do want to bring out, again, our ability to even fight back. So many times we're looking for perfection. We're looking to be perfect. And if we don't have things in order, we quit. We give up. If I don't have the money, or if I don't have the time, or if I don't have the resources, we quit. We give up. And so tonight's show is about putting those things in places where you don't have to quit. You don't have to give up, because when you start creating a habit of pushing through, of fighting through, guess what? Everything seems to fall in line. Everything seems to fall into place. Amen?
Amen. So what we're going to do is, we're going to go through, and what I'm going to do, this is what we think we're going to do. I'm going to hit some bullet points. I'm going to hit about 10 bullet points. I'm going to put the bullet point out there. And then once I put that bullet point out there, Minister LaDonna probably gives some of her personal experience and our opinions in reference to the bullet point. I may give some of mine. We're asking our studio audience, if you have an opinion or a personal experience that you could relate to the bullet point we give, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll allow our team to that'll let us know that you do have something you want to contribute to the conversation, and we'll open up your mic. You only could do that if you're in the studio listening in. If you're listening via the internet, we won't be able to take your comments or your questions. So we would recommend that you call into the studio. That number is area code 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678. Okay, well, we're going to get going. Hopefully you have your pens and papers. First of all, we want you all to know that there are ways that we are defeated in accomplishing our dreams, visions, and ideas, especially godly. Let me say, there are ways that we are defeated in not accomplishing our godly ideas. And those, and we learned this, and I'm acknowledging where we learned this from. We have, myself and Minister LaDonna, as you guys have heard us say on multiple occasions, we both share the same mentor, spiritual mentor. We have been through Christian Business Ministries vertically, and that's where we got our coach. Minister LaDonna is a coach too. And I'm a minister too, but we didn't want to have two ministers, so we broke that up. But anyway, we got it from Vertical Leap, and we learned that there's four ways that the enemy defeats the body of Christ. And in this case, we're saying there's four ways we could be defeated in accomplishing our goals. One is no plan, no commitment to plan. That's one. Two, lose focus. And three, move too slow. So again, that's no plan, no commitment to plan, lose focus, and move too slow. So I wanted to put that out there as we get ready to go into some meat of it. So we're going to start with number one. What, again, the name of the show is Fighting Fatigue of Faded Dreams. Keep that in your mind. We're talking about starting to lose your power in order to move forward and accomplish the goals that you have set for yourself, or to birth your dreams, visions, and ideas. One of the ways that we could get fatigued and lose heart is creating vague goals. What do you mean, Coach D? Being more specific with the goals that we're setting. Amen, Minister LaDon?
Amen. You know, and even as you said that, and you're talking about fighting fatigue, when we fight fatigue, what we're doing, and when we're losing hope in our dreams, we're losing hope in our visions. And so you do absolutely have to have crystal clear goals. You have to know what you expect on the other end of what you're doing. You have to have an expectation. That's like going into a relationship, and you go into a relationship, you're saying that this is your boyfriend or your mate or your husband, and the other person is like, we never even talked about that, or you expect to have kids and they don't. You have to have crystal clear goals in order to get to where you're going. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Definitely. Definitely. And be specific. That's not just us saying that, if I can say, because you know Coach D is always going, I always got a word, I always got a scripture. But even in the Word of God, you know, it speaks about, you know, being specific, in our, even in our prayer life. So, yes, we need to know what we want and not be so vague. You know, a lot of times people say, and I'm going to give an example, because that may not make sense. Even what we're saying, everybody's understanding is different. So I'm going to give a little example. It doesn't have to be this, but I'm just giving an example. Saying, oh, I want to be a doctor. That's vague. That's vague when you think about all the different types of doctors in the world. So to say I want to be a doctor is not specific versus saying I want to be an OBGYN. I want to be really involved in the health of women and the health of newborns. You know, I want to be able to deliver babies, or, you know, you want to be specific. And so that's a good example as to what specific look like when you're talking about things you're trying to accomplish and when you're setting your goals. Amen?
Amen. Because when you move towards them, if you said you wanted to be an OBGYN and you're spending 7 years studying the health of men, you know you're off track. When someone
Amen.
Comes to you and says, oh, I want you to do this study on men, you're like, oh, that's not in alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing. So guess what? You now controlled or eliminated or managed a challenge, a problem, an area of distraction or losing focus. Amen?
Amen. Definitely. Definitely. And you see it. That's not uncommon. You know, a lot of people, kids particularly, teenagers, come out of high school, their parents are pushing them to go to college. And parents, I'm not taking nothing away from you wanting the best for your child. But a lot of times we are, as parents, will push and force our kids to go to college, and we spend tens of thousands of dollars only to find out that in the first year they didn't even go to class, or find out that they dropped out. Now, we're so disappointed. But did we ever stop to say, okay, do you know what you want to do? Do you know what your goals are? Do you know what your dreams are? You know, because what if you're sending your kid to a four-year college? I'm just giving an example. And you're spending all this money you don't have, and then your child says, well, I just want to be given the purpose. I want to be a cosmetologist. Well, guess what? You don't have to spend 4 years in college to be a cosmetologist. You don't. You got trade school. And some people really have a negative outlook on trade school. But there's people that went to trade school that's have a great career. You know, auto mechanics, cosmetologists, therapists. You know, that just went to trade schools and they got their certifications and their state license, and they're doing amazing. I'm not trying to discourage people from going to college, but what I'm saying is that why spend thousands of dollars to go to college if you could accomplish it a different way and get the same result? That's the way I'm thinking. Amen. So I'll leave that alone. I can hear in spirit people get fucked. You know, you got people that's just so been set on the college, and I know it's a great experience, but again, we see it all the time where we send our kids off to college, make them go, and then they drop out or they don't go, or some of them go to college and spend 4 years in college, get a degree, and never, like, why are you going to college to get a fashion designer degree, but then you're living in a city that's not even fashion conscious? You know, you can't live in Muskogee, Oklahoma with a fashion degree. I just don't know that it would be beneficial. Now, if you had a fashion degree and you're living in a major, you know, in a major city, in Paris or New York or even Los Angeles or some major city, then that degree could really probably be put to use for you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So set, yes. So being more goal, being more specific. Amen. So we're going to go to number two, and we're going to try not to drag these out because we have 10 to get through, but we want to be clear. We don't want to just give you the words and then don't give you a perception of what that looks like. So number two is lacking a higher purpose, not doubting. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I love how you pulled that out, because I'm going to take that back to Vertical Leap. Because when we are doubting, what's happening is, first and foremost, we need to check our egos too. Because failure is a part of success. I'm going to say that again. Failure is a part of success. One of the things we learn is that you must fail often in order to succeed one time, or you will fail often in order to succeed only once. And so when we begin to start doubting, we lose our willingness, our will to do things. Oh, I don't want to do that anymore. You lose your desire to get things done when you start doubting. And the reason why that is because you're either afraid of failing. You're usually afraid of what other people are going to think. But guess what? If you're not doing what your purpose is, you're already failing. Why are you not pushing, putting all of your maximum capacity to get done what is in you to get done? But you'll go into a job and clock in and give that your time and your attention. One of the things that I really need us to understand is our time and our attention is the most valuable and greatest resources that we have. Those are God-given resources, our time and our attention. Why are you investing it in places where you get little return or no return? If you're putting your time and your attention into getting done your purpose, your vision, your doubt will begin to go away as you continue to keep on working on it. What happens is you start to lose doubt because what you realize is that, okay, that didn't work. Well, let me try something else. Okay, that didn't work. So doubt just becomes failing just becomes a part of the process, but not the roadblock or the wall to stop you in the midst of the process. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Yes. That's good. I like that. I like that. That is awesome. I was just thinking as you were speaking, Minister LaDon, because when I think of lacking a higher purpose, you know, that could mean a couple of different things, depending on what it means, you know, to each individual. Of course, for me, everything always go back to spiritual, but even like you said, a higher purpose being what's your purpose for doing what you do? What's the purpose for doing what you do? And I want to give a perception. Let me just give an example so that we could get a clear perception of what that looks like again. Let's just say your goal was to lose weight. Okay? And that's a big goal that everybody makes at the beginning of the year. Merely to just lose weight because I want to look a certain way, I want to look cute, or I want to look attractive. That may not be a higher purpose to cause you to continue to move forward in that goal. But a higher purpose could be I need to lose weight because I have health issues. And in order for me to maintain or get rid of the health issues, I have to lose a certain amount of weight to do that. So the health issues now begin to supersede just the need to lose weight. So now you may be more intrigued, more driven, more motivated to lose the weight because now it's something that's a higher purpose, which is now I have an illness that I can't control unless I lose the weight. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And some people call it their why. What is my why?
Your why.
We call it purpose. But some people might call it
exactly.
Your why. And this is the reason why I have a challenge with my why, because my why can change dependent upon my circumstances and my situation. If I'm losing weight just to look good or you know what I'm saying? Well, at a certain point, I'm starting to look better, which is maybe good compared to the way that I looked before. Or somebody might walk by and I catch their eye and I look good to them, and then I stop in my process. But what is my ultimate purpose? What is my ultimate goal? Well, I'm losing weight because I need to be healthy. Now, that person can walk by and I look good to them, but unless I'm healthy, I'm continuing in my process. Does that make
sense? Amen.
Hopefully that makes sense. Amen.
Oh, no, that made a lot of sense. That made a lot of sense because that's true. I never thought about that, you know, and I'm one that always push, you know, don't forget your why. Remember your why, but you're right. Your why could become an ex.
You know, right?
It really could become, yeah, you know, when you think about how a letter Y, all you got to do is go down one, you know, one more little line and you got an X. So you're right. Your Y can change. You know, I'm trying to lose, you know, somebody said, well, I'm trying to lose weight because I want to fit this dress, you know, and then you might go in your closet and realize, I don't even like the dress no more. I don't like the style of the dress. I don't like the dress. Or you might realize that the dress is outdated because it took you longer to lose, or now you can't wear the dress because maybe it's a summer dress and now it's winter. So your why could change. But when you have I'm sorry.
I was going to say I might just put a waist shaper on, and now I can fit my dress.
Exactly. So a why can change, and I never looked at it like that. Amen. I'm going to make sure, see, what I'm going to do really quickly here before we go. Oh, we do have a call. Okay, I'm sorry, caller. Caller, area code 404, last 43497. You are live on Woman to Woman.
So I was listening, and I like what you guys are saying about purpose and the why. And I think in terms of, like, people wanting to start a business and they get fatigued, I know sometimes life experiences will stop you or halt you from, you know, following your dream of starting a business. Sometimes work can get in the way. There's many obstacles that can get in the way of halting you from starting your dream or starting a business. I know for me, it's like sometimes I think that for me, you have to have a passion for what you want to do. Like you said, for losing weight. I mean, if you really want to lose weight, I mean, that's something that, you know, you want to do maybe for health reasons or something like that. But it's something that you have to be disciplined about. When you're trying to start a business, it's like a lot of people, I hear a lot of people, you know, they want to do something, but then they change their mind or, you know, like me, I am a procrastinator. I let things get in the way of my dream, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I want to start this business. I want to start it. And I always focus. So I think that for me, I know I have a passion for what I want to do. And I think people need to have a passion for what it is. And it's not just the purpose for me. And I know I'm sounding like I'm all over the place because I'm thinking a lot of things right now. So,
I was going to tell you, I'm going to leave your mic open because I want you to be able to just bounce in, because it's funny that you said procrastinating, because number three on our list is procrastinating, not committed. So I'm going to let you finish on, but I just want to let you know that number three is procrastinating and not committed.
Yeah. Big time. I'm a big time procrastinator. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I want to start this business because for me, I want to have multiple streams of income. You know, I want to be like Puffy and all them other successful business owners, because when you read their stories, a lot of them have failed a lot of times with their dreams, but they never stopped. And what keeps them on top, and they don't have to worry about money and stuff because they have multiple businesses. And I think it's smart for average Joe. I consider us like average Joe because we're not millionaires. We're not, you know, rich people at all like that. But we're just working class people. I think that we need to get hip and start relying on one stream of income, because you can, you know, lose your job, you know. Then what you're going to do, you have to focus and rely on, you know, your boss and stuff like that. You have to play the game. But if you have multiple streams of income, you can have that lifestyle that you want. You don't have to worry about money issues and stuff like that. So, and then too, you have to have a passion for what you want to do and not just monetary reasons. So I know I have a passion for what I want to do. I just procrastinate. That's my biggest problem.
You know, and I love your comment. You know, one of the things I do want to point out is all those people that you've mentioned, they didn't always have multiple streams of income. Most
right.
of them start out with nothing whatsoever, and what they mm-hmm. gain through the process of failing continuously, again, is resiliency. They didn't have money. They face challenges, and resiliency has everything to do with your spirit. So if I don't have arms, but it's in me to develop a certain business, because I'm resilient, I don't need to have the arms. I can find somebody who does have the arms. So when we talk about
right.
entrepreneurs who are starting out in business and, you know, want to get their businesses created, it really has nothing to do with their resources in a sense of I have money or I'm educated or not. It has everything to do with the spirit of the man and their ability to perform based on their capacity to perform. And what I mean by that is their willingness and their desire to get things done. And so you may have the passion that you talked about. And so your desire, you know, your impulse is to get to attain that thing that you think is going to bring you enjoyment or satisfaction. But are you willing when you're tired? Are you willing when you just got off of work, working 24 hours a day, or maybe today is the day that you go in for a promotion? You know you're up for the promotion, but somebody wants to have a meeting with you based upon your idea to start a business. Oh, that kind of gets sticky and it kind of gets a little scary. And so what is that willingness to perform?
Mm-hmm.
And so, those are some of the areas. And Coach D is going to jump back into the procrastination or the 10 ways or the 10 reasons why people fail to push through their fatigue. But these are all associated with those reasons because, again, it goes back to how resilient are you? How resilient are you? What is your spirit? What is your spirit, man? How strong is your spirit, man? How are you feeding your spirit, man? Or are you dependent, like you said, on walking into that 9-to-5? You don't know if your business is going to work, but you know every time you clock in on that clock, they have to pay you. They have to pay you as long as they're in business. And if they don't, you can take them to court. You have all of these things that you're able and capable of doing. And so your willingness changes a whole lot when you know for sure you're going to get a paycheck. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to get to the next one. And the next one was, okay, number four, and on procrastination, on number three, I just want to add something. Quick fix to procrastination. One of the things that help with procrastination is if you break down into manageable pieces and then start right away. So if you're trying to accomplish something, whatever that thing is, see if there's a way that you could break it down into manageable pieces. Because sometimes, I know like with me, sometimes I could take on a project, and the project really could probably be broken down into four parts or three parts or five parts. And I will, you know, get the project and I'll just go in. I'll just dive in. And then it gets very overwhelming. And then I find myself spending the next week or two or three or four months. And matter of fact, I'm dealing with a situation like that there's a project that I should have finished in December. I'm just going to be transparent. There's a project I was supposed to finish in December, and every day I go to my computer to get ready to do this project, and I get overwhelmed because it's very difficult. And I get overwhelmed, and then once I get overwhelmed, I don't know about other people, but when I get overwhelmed, my trigger is I shut down. So it's like mm-hmm. a computer overload. I mean, like if a computer is overloaded, what's the first thing it does? It crashes. And that's the way my brain feels. So when I get overloaded, I shut down, and then I could spend hours staring into blank space if I'm not careful. So breaking things down in manageable pieces, saying, okay, I'll do this little bit today and get this done, and then I'll do this little bit tomorrow, or I'll do, you know, just breaking it down into manageable pieces could help with the, you know, the procrastination where we just procrastinate. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And I've been saying I'm going to do it tomorrow ever since December, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another way. Number four, not taking responsibility and making too many excuses.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, excuses is your reasoning and your logic. I tell my daughter all the time, okay, yeah, that's your reason. That's your excuse. It's not my excuse. It's my reason. Reason to one person may be an excuse to another. What it is you're telling me why you did not do what you set out to do, or what you needed to do, or what you were supposed to do. There's always going to be reasons that come up. There's always going to be challenges. But those reasons are not supposed to stop you. We're supposed to get around those reasons. And so, we have reasons. And they're good reasons. I didn't want to do the show because I'm sick. You hear me sick. And I'm going to wake up tomorrow and feel potentially worse. But what about, you know, when we take it, some of the ways that we can fight or counteract against that is we want to make sure that we're paying more attention to, again, what is our purpose in getting this thing done? And is this moment of allowing my excuses to attack me and make it okay to not get things done, is it going to affect me more or negatively affect me based upon me pushing through my reason and getting it done? Because on the other end of pushing through is your reward. And we just had a show about how do you push past procrastination. That was just like last week. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do it. Get it done. Doesn't have to be the whole thing. Something done. And as you create that new habit, guess what? You're confusing your unconscious mind. You're confusing your habit of procrastination. You're confusing the natural tendency to not do.
Mm.
So we're learning 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Start something now. Even if you just get up.
Mm.
Now you can't say, well, I don't get up. Now you have to move to the next step. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good one. Good one. Okay, so now we have number. And caller, did you have a comment on the making too many excuses? If
well,
you don't, that's fine. Just jump in if you. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
what?
I don't. I was
okay.
Just listening.
Well,
I'm
keeping
you guys
your
made
mic
really
open.
Good point. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm keeping your mic open because we are making it an open discussion. So if you do have, I'm going to go through and after Minister LaDon talk, you know, say her commentary. If you do have something to say, just jump in. So the next one is number five. We're making it through. We're almost at the end of the show, and we're just halfway through our list. So we're going to try to get through our list. Number five is listening to people who discourage you. That could also be combined with your goals are not motivating. If you have goals that's not motivating you, you know, and what does that look like? You know, when you are so excited, and it could go back to even passion, as our caller indicated, that, you know, having a passion for what you do is your motivation. I'm passionate about this. So it becomes your motivation. When you're passionate about something, it wakes you up in the morning. You know what I'm saying? You don't have, you sometimes get up before the alarm go off because you're just trying to hurry. Well, I got to hurry up and get over here to my computer because I got to get this thing done. So you're passionate and you're motivated. And if you're not, and if you're passionate and motivated about your goals, then people who are discouraging, those are you will not even allow them speak against it. You will find yourself avoiding those people at all costs, not taking their calls, limiting your time that you spend around people that's discouraging. And that discouraging is that kind of stuff where you talk, you give your vision to somebody, and then all of a sudden they say, well, how you going to do that? You know you can't do that. You know you ain't got this. You don't have an education. Oh, maybe you need to go to a speaking class. Oh, maybe you need to do this. So they're instead of encouraging you, they're discouraging you. And if you're not careful, those words, because, you know, it says in the word that words give death or life. So if you got people around you that's constantly speaking words of death, it will kill, it will cause you to abort your baby. It will kill your dreams, visions, and ideas. And you will not, they'll just be dead dreams because you will not move forward if you're not careful about who you allow to speak into your life. Amen?
Amen.
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 Okay. You just have to be careful with who you tell your.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, you have to be careful who you tell your, you know, your vision to, who you talk to about, you know, just anything, your dreams, the certain people that you know that you should stay away from because there's a lot of, you know, negative people in your life. You know, there's some positive people, but you really need to talk to someone that you know you can trust, someone that has your best interest, especially when you're talking about your dreams or something that you want to do because a lot of people are just settled in with their in their day-to-day and they don't think about their future or some people just live day to day. They don't think about, well, you know, don't think that they can even accomplish. And I keep honing in on starting a business because that's where my mindset is right now. Starting a business, they don't believe in themselves to even think that they can be a Puffy or be a, I'm going to use Trump, be a Trump or because he owns several businesses. That's the only reason why I'm saying him. But a lot of people don't have the same vision or the same confidence. So when you're talking to someone about, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and they're negative, that can deter a lot of people from even accomplishing their dreams. But it's important that when you are speaking to people, you got to know who to speak to. You know what I mean? You should know that before you even bring up the conversation, if that makes any sense.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now is the perfect time. I'm going to keep it short. But now is the perfect time to talk about, you know, because we're talking about you have to watch who you surround yourself with. You have to be passionate about it. You know, I don't want us to lose that passion is not enough. It's not enough to keep you going because although we're passionate about some things, we might not be willing. We're passionate about having a lot of money. We're passionate about being able to travel. But you might not be willing to knock over a bank so that you can travel and have a lot of money. And so I'm saying that because we have to fight to keep our will, even among during the time where people are trying to discourage us from our dreams. You know, that's one of the reasons why I love having Coach B in my life. Even when we were talking about continuing on with the show tonight, we go and we have these conversations where we drag, you know, we hold each other accountable. We put each other on the line. Is it that you can't do it or is it that you just don't want to do it? And we have to face the fact. We have to live up to it. But I want us to know how do we lose our will because as we're talking about, you know, somebody can come and because we shared our dream or our vision or our business with them, they're telling us all of these things why we shouldn't do it. It goes back to ego. But these are the way that you lose your will. This does not come from me. This definitely comes from the Vertical Leap seminar that we've been through. But, you know, the ways that you lose your will is through your emotions. I don't feel like doing it. I'm tired. I'm scared. Through your intellect. You know, I believe that I need to have this education and this in order to start the process. So your reasons and your logic. Well, because I don't have the money, I really can't get this done. Or your vain imaginations, mm-hmm. they're all going to laugh at me. Or your memory. I didn't do it before, so I most likely can't do it again. Or, you know, I tried to start that business before, and my clients didn't like me because I didn't follow through with producing the product that I said I could produce. Well, guess what you learned through that failure? You're supposed to become resilient and push through and continue on. And so, you know, again, willingness is a big part of pushing through and getting what you need done. Amen? And I'm going to be quiet until you finish
Amen.
The rest of the points.
Amen. Okay. Well, I'm going to move to number six. And, again, we're getting close to toward the end of our show, and I just keep saying that because I just want to make sure that we're aware, even if we run over a little bit, but I want us to be aware so we're really keeping our time commitment. Number six, starting too many projects, not focused. Amen. That's a good one. Because, again, that I'm very guilty of that. I am so very guilty of starting. I get excited, super excited, and just personal testimony. I could think of when I first retired from my job and I thought I'm going to move away to another state and I'm going to get this going and I'm going to get that going and I'm going to get this going. And before I knew it, I was having conference calls. I had 3 or 4 projects going on. I had, I had a book deal going. I had a nonprofit I was trying to do. I had a business I was trying to do, and I had a ministry. So I have 4 projects that I was trying to work on. And at some point I had to stop, and I had to say, first of all, I'm working on too many projects. Second of all, I will burn myself out, not only mentally, emotionally, and maybe even physically, but financially. So I had to just kind of stop and slow down and say, okay, prioritize. I need to prioritize. What do I need to take care of first? And then go to the next one and then whatever the next is, but completing the first one first. Amen.
Amen.
And that got to do with also the fear of missing out. You know, like you said, everybody want to make a lot of money. Everybody want to make so much money that we'll have a whole bunch of stuff going on. And it kind of goes back to caller when you were talking about multiple streams of income, which is good. Multiple streams of income are definitely a good way to become financially stable. But I don't know that multiple streams of income diving in and not, you know, trying to do, especially like startups and different goals and visions and businesses, if you're coming in trying to do too many at one time, you're going to get frustrated. And you can't be, you know, we've been taught, at least I've been taught, and I'm sure Minister Ladon, because we have the same mentor, is that you can't be great at everything. You could be good at a lot of things. But in order to be great, it requires that isolated attention. And so you kind of hear this saying. This is an old saying that the old people used to say, jack of all trades, master of none. Basically that means, yeah, you're good at doing a lot of stuff, but you ain't great at nothing. Basically. So we want to be careful on that. Did anybody else have anything on 6? Otherwise, I'm going to go to 7.
Nope.
Amen.
No comment.
So number 7 is being negative. Do not – and a lot of times I believe people are negative because they do not know how to handle failure. Fear, I believe that negative is a byproduct of fear. When we're scared,
totally.
When we're uncertain, mm-hmm. when we're ignorant to certain things, we will have a tendency to be negative because we have to spark up enough negative energy to make something look like it's not that important or whatever, you know, those negative things, because that negativity or that negative energy we think is covering up our fear. So a lot of times when you get people that's always negative, it's their own fear that's causing them to be negative. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I thought you guys might have a comment. So, again, not knowing how to handle failure could produce a negative attitude. And Minister LaDon said it, and Minister LaDon, you might just want to reflect on that again, because you said, and I want to say exactly what you said, but about, you know, failing and succeeding. Nobody has ever succeeded. Nobody has never succeeded that has not failed. So you got to fail many times in order to succeed once. So, don't look at failure as such. And I think we have taught that at youth. You know, I think we came from a culture that disciplined us, ridiculed us, punished us for failing. You know, in school, you think about it, even with our kids, you better not fail. You know, you better not get nothing under a B. And we drive that into them from the time they start preschool. So we're already teaching them to fear failure.
Amen. You know, and I
think
my comments to myself, but one thing I want to say that is when you ingrain that into people or you that's the way that you raise your children, you find that you limit them in taking risks. You put them in a box, because now that I'm afraid to fail, or now that I know if I fail, I'm going to get in trouble, failure causes trouble. Failure causes unwanted circumstances. Instead of, we have to redefine failure. You know, failure may cause knowledge. Failure gets you closer to the right answer.
Amen. That's a good one. Okay, number 8, being selfish, not putting the work in. How many people say, I want to be successful, I want to be famous, I want to do this, I want to do that, but in order for you to do what you need to do, the requirements may be that you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. The requirements may be that you need to spend an hour studying. But because you don't want to do the work, you don't want to put in the work, you're not meeting your goals. Because you don't want to, you know, go the extra mile, you're not meeting your goals. One of your goals could be, you know, going back to the weight loss. That one's always, everybody has dealt with this one, so that's why I keep using it. You say, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight, I want to lose weight. But you don't want to stop eating the cake. Or you don't want to walk around the block. And I'm saying this in laughter, because that's one of my goals. I've been fighting, I know what weight I want to be. And I've been fighting this weight thing forever. I mean, it's like once I turned 40, I had a child at 40, and I have not been able to get my weight on track. And so, you know, weight gain could be from multiple things. I mean, it could just be from diet and exercise, but you could also have different health things going on that would cause weight. But in my case, I don't want to walk around the block, because I'm thinking if I walk around the block, what about the big dog that's down at the corner, you know? So, or what about it being 38 degrees? So anyway, again, this is big. Number 8 is not putting in the work, being selfish. I'm being selfish to my own goals, my own dreams. I'm being selfish because my dreams require of me to do certain things. My dream of, you know, being in good fitness, you know, being in good shape, requires that I walk daily. That dream requires that I walk daily, but I'm being selfish. I'm too selfish. I ain't going outside. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's always something. You know, the neighbor's dog is out. So, again, we got to not be selfish to our own dreams, visions, and goals. We can't be We can't be selfish. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Number 9, surrounding yourself with people who don't reach their goals. This kind of goes hand in hand with number 5, you know, discouraging, but this is a little different because you could be around a lot of people that's not discouraging to you. They're, as a matter of fact, they're, you know, they love on you, you know. You, oh, that's my bestie. That's my friend. That's my, you know. But these people are people who have built a habit of not being successful. They have built a habit of, it's just cool to sit around and drink. It's just cool to just hang out. Let's just hang out. But you need to surround yourself with people who's doing like-minded people. People that, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I want to be an entrepreneur. So I got to surround myself with other entrepreneurs, other people that's trying to start businesses, or other people that have businesses. You know, I've always been told is that if you want to be a millionaire, then you need to surround yourself with millionaires. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, girl. So then we get into the last one. Nobody had nothing on, you know, so basically we heard on number 9, I want to add one more thing because this is going to sound familiar. They say birds of a feather flock together. And that has a lot of truth to it because we surround ourselves and we attach ourselves to like spirits, you know. So even, you know, if you are getting in a relationship with people who are broken, then there's something that's broken inside of you that's attracting that. We draw into us the conditions of our heart called the cord effect. So we want to surround ourselves with positive people. Minister Ladai, you have something to say?
Yeah, I do, because a lot of times we think that it's just a mirroring effect. So I'm broken, you're broken. But sometimes it's a desire to fix what is broken. And so you might have to watch, like, you're attracting people that need to be fixed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So you might have to watch that habit or that the way that you look at people or the way that you look at things, because you might be the type, maybe when you were little, you were always the one who were fixing up the little birds or, you know, helping people out. And so now that you're older, you are still operating in that habit, and you didn't know when that habit was supposed to mature into something else, when it was supposed to ripen. And so now it's rotten, and that's why you keep on attracting the same type of people. Amen?
Which would still be a form of brokenness. There's something incomplete in you. That, and even if you're still, like you said, maybe you got a habit of fixing the birds or things as a little kid, somewhere you didn't mature into, okay, fixing the bird and fixing the wings and the compassion and the empathy that I have for others. You know, and that's another show, Minister LaDon, because all of a sudden that just kind of takes some nerves for me, because I was one of the ones that was fixing the little birds. Now you can give me the touch of birds. So I can remember giving birds funerals. I had to be like in the second grade behind the house. These baby birds would fall out the tree, and I can remember holding a full funeral service for them, picking them up and everything. Ooh, that's another show. Remind us of that. But amen, amen.
Amen.
You just opened up some inner depths. Anyway, so we got one more. Our last one before we close our show on tonight is going to be this one. I know I'm guilty of this. It says watching too much TV, but I believe it's get distracted.
Me.
So it could be TV, it could be social media, Facebook, Instagram. It could be playing games on your phone. It could be playing video games. It could be getting on phone calls that you spend hours on, and it's not anything that's goal-oriented. That call and those conversations aren't doing anything to help you any further along in your goals. And we could get distracted by people, places, and things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the biggest thing to go with that, you know, it goes back to stress. And stress is the body's natural way of protecting itself. It really is, because when you get stressed, what happens is you start to your body wants to, like, shut down from the problem or eliminate the problem. And what we've done is we put practices into place that doesn't solve the problem. And so we'll either put on a movie so that we can get distracted and not have to deal with the stress. The stress is an indicator that there's an issue going on that needs to be resolved. And so it's not necessarily a bad thing. The way that we handle our stress is what causes bad outcomes or not so good outcomes. And so, you know, one of my things, instead of watching TV, I don't watch TV, but I can spend an hour or two playing games on my phone, you know. And so we all have those tendencies or those habits or those nuances that help us to deal with when we're stressed. And again, what we're supposed to be doing is, you know, looking at the stress as an indicator that, okay, there's an issue here that needs to be resolved. And maybe you need to step away from it for a moment and not resolve it immediately in this instance, but step away. Maybe it takes you to, you know, 5 minutes. I want to calm down. I want to relax. But maybe instead of relaxing in ways that don't bring any positive outcomes for us, or let me not say positive, doesn't increase our circumstance or add to our circumstance, maybe we could find different ways of relaxing. Maybe it's putting on your favorite music, or you know, learning more, some type of way of learning more about your business. Maybe you want to be in fashion, so instead of doing research, you're looking at fashion for 5 minutes. Maybe that gives you pleasure. But we have to learn how to manage our stress and manage, you know, the habits that we have in place concerning dealing with our stress. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good. That is good. That's great. One other thing I want to say with that, too, you know, I know for me, you know, I don't watch TV all the time. I mean, like during the day, I don't watch TV at all. It's certain days that I have that I probably get real distracted, you know. But when you think about it, if you're spending time, and this has been my conviction, because at one point I was, you know, people tell me about all these different, oh, this new show. And I found myself, every new show people would tell me about, I was going to check out the show. Now what I do when people tell me about new shows, I say, don't even tell me about it. The last thing I need to do is get addicted to another TV show. So I don't even want to know about the show. Don't tell me about it, because I'm already fighting some. But what I'm learning, too, is that oftentimes the time that I'm spending, I did that 21-day fast where I didn't watch TV during the week at all. My whole household, the TV was shut down, and we didn't, you know, we would watch TV from 6 p.m. Friday night to 6 a.m. Monday morning, and then all the rest of the days, Monday through Friday, we just didn't watch it. And it made a big difference, because we spent more time talking, we spent more time reading, we spent more time maybe focusing on goals, and we weren't distracted by the TVs. And also, you know, it even found ourselves going to bed a lot earlier, you know, so and I'm just using TV, but whatever that thing is. So anytime you're trying to get rid of a bad habit, you got to replace it with a good habit. So if I'm trying to stop watching TV, then I need to find something to replace it with. And working on my goals or working on my dreams or ideas is the best thing I can replace it with. Instead of watching TV, now I should maybe be working on my business plan or working to complete, you know, an assignment, my book, whatever the thing may be. But you always, I find it a lot easier when you're trying to get rid of one bad habit. You need to find a good habit to replace it with. And then just fast. Fasting is always a good way to get rid of bad habits, too, because if you could commit yourself and be diligent and disciplined enough to fast for 7 days, 10 days, 14 days, 21 days, then you've already accomplished it. Now all you have to do is don't go back to it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I want to relate that again back to Six Sigma, which is one of the things I brought out at the beginning of the show. When we're putting new habits in place, one of the things we learned, a term that we learned in Six Sigma is CTQs, which I'm sure Coach D is familiar with. And CTQs are critical to quality. What is critical to the quality of your product? And so when we're putting new habits in place, we can be mindful of what's going to be critical to the quality of our lifestyle or our vision or our goal. And so when we want to step away, it's not bad to shut down. Again, stress is a way of our body telling us, you know, pay attention to some things. It's not a bad thing to shut down. Even Jesus, God, rested on the seventh day. And so you may watch TV shows, but, you know, depending upon what type of business that you're in, you may decide, okay, I'm going to watch a TV show that's, you know, again, I'm going to take it back to fashion because it's easy. What's fashionable in, you know, I might go through magazines during this time and I'm pulling out certain things that are, you know, quality pieces that I want to have in my fashion store or things like that. I'm learning about the quality of fabric or I'm learning about stitching. You know, and so you can get excited about those mm-hmm. things. It's a new habit you're managing, but it's also critical to the quality of the outcome of your vision and your goal. And so, you know, when you, like Coach D said, since December there's a project that she's supposed to do, but every time she goes to her computer, she can't bring herself to start on it. Well, that means there's some stress going on in there. And so what is something that she could put into place that will now become critical to the quality? It may be going through her email. I'm not going to do nothing today but go through my email. Guess what? If I get lost in going through emails, the only thing that I was doing was going through my emails anyways. You know what I'm saying? And so you start mm-hmm. managing. And emails is critical to the quality of maybe the project that you're starting to do. I haven't responded to emails, or I haven't gone through and made sure I did all of the things that I was supposed to do. You know, the tasks, the steps that were listed inside the emails. And so, the habits that we put in place. Remember the term CTQs. What's critical to the quality of where it is that I want to be, or what it is that I want to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, indeed. Well, that concludes our show on fighting fatigue of faded visions. Hopefully you all have been listening in and that you have taken notes that you can begin to look back at this every time you feel yourself getting stagnant, every time you feel yourself getting frustrated or disappointed or overwhelmed. Take a look back at that list. You might want to type it up and just put it somewhere that you can see it, that it's right there where you could just turn on your desk and you can look at it and allow that to be your motivating factor. Allow that to encourage you because you can look and see all the reasons why. There's many reasons why we could fail. You know, there's many reasons to fail, but there's so much more reasons to succeed. So we just pray that tonight the words that went forth will bless you, that they will motivate you, encourage and empower you, that you've been educated so you can roll your sleeves back up and get back in the game, and just don't stop until you birth that thing. Whatever that thing is, until you birth it, don't stop. Keep pushing. Push and breathe, you know. Anytime you're impregnated with a dream and a vision, we call it pregnancy. It you know, if you know anything about natural pregnancy, when you go into labor to birth it, it's not easy. It's painful. You know, it's painful. Sometimes it's quick to birth it, and sometimes it takes time. And oftentimes what you'll hear your doctor or your coach tell you is push and breathe. Push and breathe. So we're just telling you to push and breathe. It's only 30 days into the new year. Trust the process. Do all that you know to do. And then trust the process for that thing to manifest for you. So, again, thank you for tuning in tonight. We hope you tune in on next week, which will be our first Wednesday in February. February is the love month, and we are now lining up our guests. We're excited about February because we're going to get into some stuff dealing with what love is and what love is not. And it's going to be love overall, love externally, love internally, love horizontally, and love vertically. So feel free to tune in. It's going to be an exciting time in February. It's going to be a series, and we're looking so forward to it, and we hope that you're looking forward to it too. Know that you're loved and appreciated. Minister LaDon, did you have anything else to close us out?
Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we look forward to having you here again with us next week. Until then, be blessed and continue to move in the process of producing your purpose.
Amen. Hold on.
Woman to woman.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again. Woman to
woman,
woman, songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and